Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11. Jets Gregory currently on the board. At some point in the show, going to be James Bridges. Anthony. Wow, what a day, man. What a start. Andrew Hody.
It's okay. My father's name is Anthony. I get it all the time.
There you go. Same thing. Clearly a direct relation to your father. I just looked at you and I was like, it's a good friend,
it's
Anthony.
It's far from the first time. And Anthony and Andrew are such similar names. Let's be real.
We almost had it. I was talking to Anthony Lant. We addressed Anthony. Again, Andrew Hody, you heard him on the 2020 updates. He's doing work behind the glass. Again, just a stellar start to the show today. Let's see if we can go down worse of a rabbit hole at some point here. I'm sure it can only get worse. I did want to start today, though, kind of getting to a point of the report we got today from Mary Kay Cabot, which is basically just a response from Myles Garrett's team in which no news has changed whatsoever. As Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, I'm going to stutter every single time. I'm going to have a hesitation every single time I say a name now today, because I've managed to mess up too. Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski basically were trying to sell you, oh yeah, things are good with Miles. Going into the future is going to be good with Miles. We expect him to be here and to be here not just short, but long-term as well. And Miles essentially comes out with the report and gets you straight to the, yeah, that's not happening. The money is not going to be enough to just get me right back in the chair. It's not going to be enough to get me right back to where it needs to be. It's going to be exactly what I said that it's going to be so far, which is, hey, I'm going to need a lot more than money. And there's really nothing you can do that's going to go through and fix this situation. And honestly, quite the play for Miles. I think that's the most notable thing that we could have got to. It felt like the power struggle that we've been watching and we've been sort of documenting up to this point, which is just, okay, Miles acts like he has all the power in this situation, which in the current form of the NFL and really just sports in general, in the NBA, you see this plenty amount. The player has all the power. They control where they want to go. They control if they're going to be signing extensions, whether or not they're even going to show up. They'll just take the loss in money because their contracts are ludicrous and they can do that. And then Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are like, no, we're completely in control of this thing. We are confident in not trading him. We're confident that we're just going to continue to move forward and be in the spot that we're in. I also think this is just a full transition to what we all already pretty much assumed, which is Myles Garrett's in the driver's seat. The quick assumption, and even if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski sort of had you on a way where you were almost believing and starting to believe that maybe they really do have this under control and maybe they truly believe they can have Miles back in the building. It's things like this, the reports from Mary Kay, where a contract extension just doesn't get it done. And again, where maybe you sit there and believe it really is just a money ploy and they can hand him a big contract at the end of the day and that's all it takes, is that money is the ultimate deciding factor. This very clearly tells you no. Miles says he wants to win and by his actions very clearly also wants to win. I don't think there's been much of a... There has been no hesitation out of Miles' camp, and there really hasn't been any questioning other than pure speculation of the fact that, yeah, sure, Miles, like, you could hand money. You could act like money talks. Money does in some aspects. But at the end of the day, winning for a guy that's going to be 29 years old, has been one of the league's best, and knows he can get paid. It's not just the Browns that can hand him a large contract. Anybody can hand him a large, ludicrous contract, and many probably would. Miles knows that as well as anybody else does. I just find it funny that as we continue through this offseason, time and time again, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are playing the calm narrative. They're playing that everything's okay, that they have it all under control. When in reality, the reaction that we all have and know that they should have is pretty much panic. Trying to find something out, trying to take calls on Myles Garrett when apparently Andrew Berry's not answering the phone. And he's not fielding calls. And they just keep trying to sell you that Myles is going to be here. It is a very dangerous situation where it seems like continuously, over and over again, they're willing to walk the Browns into what is the most dangerous position possible, which is that we're going to just force Myles to be here. And if week one rolls around and he decides to sit out, we're going to make Miles sit out. The end sort of result there, though, is that the Browns don't end up any better for Miles sitting out. You win maybe a PR battle, but that's about it. Miles sits out. Your team remains worse as you get nothing back for your star defensive end, and he's not going to be on the field. And then on top of that, oh, by the way, you're still not going to look like the good guy. Even if you start winning the PR, even if it gets people to say, wow, Miles is really willing to do this, it's not going to go, Miles is a bad guy, and oh, by the way, since the Browns kept him here, they're the good guys. No, that's not the result you get to. That's not the PR spin that everybody else is going to be willing to put on it, because reality sets in of the Browns are still morons. Right? That is what it comes down to. If that's the scenario that plays out, it still feels like you're a moron for holding that guy around. He told you time and time again, I don't want to be here. Trade me. I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm giving you everything you need. Just get me off the team. And the Browns continue to not go through that and have that play out is a possibility for them. It is just over and over again, no, we're not trading Miles, we're not trading Miles. And I believe that, and I hope that this is the truth, that it really is just a business decision to try to keep yourself ahead of the game and keep the best possible offers coming in for Miles and make it appear that at the end of the day, you're in the driver's seat in the trade market. Because any other result is not going to help you in this situation. Holding on to Miles, forcing him to try to be in Cleveland, is not going to help you. Miles has said it himself, the Cleveland Browns, you want volunteers, not hostages. The problem is that you're flipping around now, putting that directly onto him. And again, this is a story that when I look at it from Mary Kay, it's like, oh, okay, so we're just right back where we started with the whole thing. That's kind of where I assumed we already were. It manages to be news sort of without being news. It is just Miles officially putting a stamp on it that money is not going to get the job done. He's tried to dance around and almost, I don't want to say play the quiet game, because obviously he goes on Radio Row, and just goes on a media tour throughout the Super Bowl, and I'm sure another one of those isn't far around the corner for Miles. But the quiet way of, okay, here's a letter, I want a trade, I'll talk about wanting that trade, but nothing in specific, right? I'm not right now taking a direct shot at the team other than the direct shot he took at Andrew Berry. But if you're going to tell me that, yeah, you're confident you're going to be here and I can hand him a contract and things are all going to be dandy, I was like, nope, that one's not going to work either. I think the more concerning part of this, as you read Mary Kay's piece, is that he essentially rips the idea of any chance that he stays off the table, which you can request a trade. And the conversations that we had at the beginning were, if you want to request a trade, that's fine. You have all of the possibility, all of the leverage to be able to do that. The Browns honoring that trade request is a different story. And the Browns then saying, okay, you want a trade, But what if we finish the sentence, get you a quarterback, get you a running mate at defensive end, improve the offense as a whole, present to you a plan in which we have a quarterback now and in the future? Right? Any of those things, if you present that to Miles, the chance that he could possibly then still return, the door was always left open. I think what Mary Kay's piece kind of lays out is that, no, I'm not going to sign a contract extension, and if I'm not willing to sign that, my time with the Cleveland Browns is done. I want out. There is no chance of me wanting to be back here, and there's no chance of me wanting ultimately to stay a member of the Cleveland Browns. And that's sort of what you walk into. Is that this, I think, is the final straw for Miles of anybody that's trying to keep the communication line open and saying, well, we can still convince Miles to stay. Maybe if you get a quarterback situation figured out, Miles will change his mind and re-believe in the directive of the Browns and the route that they're trying to take. Miles right now is telling you no. I've seen what you've done, and I've seen it for far too long. This is my final straw. This is where we got to, that I am done. I would like to play in another city that has an ability to compete for a championship right now. And that's the only real change, I think, that has come from this. And it's not a change in Miles' stance, but maybe a change in the behavior and the way we have to think about it. That if you're going to attack the quarterback position, and you're going to attack the way that you build this roster, you can't do it on the idea of what's going to make Miles stay. Which is the first question we've probably been asking ourselves with every quarterback we've evaluated so far. Will this guy convince Miles to stay on the roster? Because we all hold on to that glimmer of hope. I tell you, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be lying if I said, well, Matt Stafford, right? Matt Stafford? Well, maybe that would be enough. Maybe that would get you there. But this is sort of the thing that pushes you over the edge of no. There's no chance, there's no possibility, no true answer in what the Browns have done or can do to get Miles back on board. And that's the reality you have to live with. That's what you have to go down the path and ask yourself, okay, what is the next move? Where do the Browns go from here in rebuilding this roster? Because it's going to be without Miles Garrett. That one's out the window. And I think we can all pretty fairly say that, yeah, your handling of the entire Deshaun Watson process, probably from the minute that you signed him, but definitely over the way that you've handled it for the last 3 years since the signing, it pushed Miles over the edge to the point where he doesn't believe in anything that you do. You could sell him, oh, we're going to get you an X player. That's not going to be good enough. You got me Deshaun Watson. You threw out everything that was wrong that could possibly go down with that trade, and you got me what was supposed to be a stellar star quarterback. That didn't work out. And then you continue to double, triple down on that move, and here we are left standing. Here we are in a back and forth where none of us won. Right? You wanted to go down that move so badly, and you wanted to die with that move. Okay, I can assume if you were to go get Matt Stafford or Kirk Cousins, whoever the fix would be, we're not dealing with the same issues, but there's nothing to say that I trust you to handle the quarterback position. I trust you on building a roster or a coaching staff or moves that you're going to make within the front office, because everything you've done within the last 3 years has really not helped us win. Almost everything you've done. 216-474-0092. As Miles proved to you that he's fully in control of this situation, and then maybe, just maybe, is it fair to close the door like that? Is it fair to not even leave the opportunity on the table? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, VLINEC Jake, so we can get your social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up later on in the show, including our Browns quarterback big board. We add backup Malik Willis to the list. Packers backup, we'll see where he lands. At 8:20, Combine Chaos. We'll look at everything that's been said over the last 2 days of the Combine and react to that. Get a Grip coming up at 9 o'clock, as it always does. And 9:20, we'll talk to Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report and take a look at a Cavs versus Celtics matchup coming to you on a Friday. But right now, 216-474-0092, as Miles proved to you that he's in full control of the situation, and we'll take a look at the fairness of what he's done. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime until 11 on 92.3 The Fan. is calling on a phone. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, this is the thing. If the guy wants out and he wants to play it like this, get your best deal for him. I don't care if you send him to New England. I don't care if you send him to Jacksonville. I don't care where you send him. If he wants to, I mean, it seems to me, first of all, if you want the team to help you out and get you where you want to go, why are you jumping in the media every 5 minutes talking about, I want out, ain't nothing going to stick, nothing else going to keep me here? Why would they do you a favor at that point?
You know, I mean, so, yeah, there's not really.
I'm done with them.
Yeah.
I'm done with them. Trade them to New England, get the fourth pick. Trade them to Oakland, get the sixth pick. Trade them to any of those. They get two first rounders and a second rounder and a player. If it's a high draft pick like Buffalo and them, I want four different things. I want three picks and a player.
I got you, Terry. I think that's honestly where we are with in this entire situation to a sort of. The more and more that you go into it and you realize that best situation is going to be available for Miles to land in versus for the Browns, the Browns' best option is going to be to trade him to a non-contender. Right? The minute you give somebody Miles Garrett and you give a good team Miles Garrett, they only get better. That team's not getting worse. So unless you're trading for significantly later in the future picks and just banking on that not working out, Miles hitting a drop-off, which I don't know that anybody really wants to sort of plant their flag in the ground on that happening. I certainly would not. And yeah, you're pretty much better off trying to trade him away to somebody who right now could give you good assets, or trying to give him to a team who doesn't have it all figured out, and you bank at least on getting some mid-round picks back. You throw out the Patriots. Now, one, they'd have to get that deal done before the NFL draft, which is the route and the path that we're on. Sure does it make it seem like that's going to happen. I just... Again, if I look at it, are you really going to be able to hand him to a New England team? New England gets him, Drake May, they're going to have draft picks coming up. And even if you did get that trade off, the team's going to look a lot better with Miles at the defense. They've already figured out the quarterback position. They have to figure out the wide receiver spot. They have some things to figure out. That defense is already pretty good. The offense is on its way up. By the time your picks roll around, what's to say that that's not pick, 12 1 year, and if you're getting another one, that pick doesn't end up being in like a 17-18 range. I don't think there's anything solid there to necessarily determine that. Adam is in Green. How's it going, Adam?
Hey, what's up, Jake? How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not bad. You know what? I just want to say that I've become annoyed in the past couple of years with all sports and these players, and they sign contracts and things don't go their way, and now they just want out and just want to go to winning teams but still want to make the same amount of money, like Miles. Like, he's going to want to make the same amount of money, but he wants to go to a winner. Well, he signed a contract. I mean, in my day, a contract meant something. Meant you were signing, you were doing it, you were fulfilling your contract, and if we get to the end of that, then we get to the end of that and we can talk. That's fine. But if he truly does just want to win a championship, void his contract and go play for the veteran minimum for Philadelphia or something. Like, it's very, very, very frustrating nowadays that these players say, oh, I just don't want to play for this team. I'm going to make the same amount of money. I just want to play for a better team. Like, when did it come to that? Because it used to not be like that. And for me, like, I love Miles as a player. I think that he was a good guy when he was here in Cleveland. But to put your signature on a piece of paper and say you're going to be a part of this, and then things don't go right and say, I don't want to be a part of it anymore. I still want the same money, but I want to go somewhere else. Like, just it's a whole bunch of prima donnas at this point. And it's beginning to get so frustrating that what do you do at this point? Because you have, even in the NBA, Jimmy Butler, you know, he goes to Miami, he's got all this money, he says, I don't want to play here anymore, trade me.
Right.
Well, he goes and he makes the same amount of money somewhere else, and he wants to be for a contender. You know what I mean? It's not, it just seems, it frustrates me, because 99% of this country does not make the money that they make, and now they're making it all about, I want to won a championship, but I still want my millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, dude, you signed a contract. Like, just own up to it. Do your thing. And if when it gets to the end, it didn't work out, that's fine. But don't, like, it's just frustrating to me.
I got you, Adam. I think that the money thing honestly plays into it, and I appreciate the call. The money thing's probably where this plays into a factor of before, when you signed a contract and you played it out, it really was to a degree because what other option do I have, right? Like, I'm doing this to make my living. Every year I'm counting on this as sort of my wage to come in. Realistically, right now, NFL players that are in the league and making the kind of money that Myles Garrett are making, if Myles wanted to truly sit out and not play a year financially, I would assume that Myles would be able to do that. Like, yeah, it wouldn't be ideal. Not making the money would definitely hurt, but it's not like he's relying on that paycheck each and every single day to get you there. It is such ludicrous money at this point that they just don't have to. And that is creative, sort of a player-dominant narrative in being able to control the situation that they're in. Which is sort of where I get to of, is it fair or not that Myles is sort of closing this opportunity? And honestly, as a Browns fan, you're going to look at it, and as a Browns fan, I look at it, and I tell you, no, it's just not fair. Like, it's for the Browns not even to have a sort of pushback right now to feel like they can get things on the track. But at the same time, how many years, how long have you been sitting here able to prove to Myles that you're going in the right direction? It's sort of too late now. He gave you the opportunity. He saw through the Deshaun Watson contract, as far as we know. He saw through the first couple of years of that and said, I hate the way you're handling this. I don't trust you to go out and do it. And I'm exercising my right as a player to request a trade. And I'll do that publicly. And from what we see right now, seems like he'll make it as ugly as he possibly has to. Let's go back out to the phones. Lance is in Paintsville. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, Jake? How you doing, brother?
We're doing well. What do you got for me?
I'm looking at this from the situation of Myles Garrett is really, he's not playing this from a position of power, obviously. The Browns could trade him anywhere they wanted to. Now, I think they got the kid gloves on, Andrew Berry and Myles Garrett, both sides to a certain extent. It's not gotten ugly yet. So, you know, Myles Garrett is maybe thinking in the back of his mind, well, they'll trade me somewhere decent. Because of the sentiment from a lot of the fans, but at the same time, since he says he doesn't want to be in Cleveland, like the first caller said, whatever deal you can get, if it's Tennessee or any of the bad teams are the ones that's going to give you the best deals anyway.
Right, because the draft capital is going to be higher, so
right,
just naturally.
Right. If you're a Buffalo or a Kansas City or Philadelphia, you're not giving up no two first rounds and a player and two first rounds on the second. You're not giving up that. You got a good enough team already to go to the Super Bowl. So you're not giving up the ranch just to get a defensive player that's 30 years old. And that's no guarantee that's going to put you over the top and get you a Super Bowl ring. So he's not playing from a power place or position, power. So his best bet, I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in Cleveland, to be honest with you. But because he's not guaranteed to go to a good team. And if he does go to a better team, he could be in the same situation. Injuries happen. All kinds of things happen. Football, you go from worst to first, the first to worst in a season, in a two. So nothing's guaranteed. So he's going to have to look at that while he's making these trade demands and look at the overall landscape of the NFL.
Yeah, Lance, I'm right there with you. At this point, I'm just willing to trade him sort of wherever's willing to take him, and I appreciate the call. I think that's sort of where we've landed now, is that this entire situation, honestly, it feels like a changing of direction from the fans, at least from what we've heard today. Everything that I heard in the beginning was, oh, you know, you should do right by Myles, honor his trade request, send him to somewhere that's good. Like, we'll just end up getting a haul. Even though we don't know what that haul is going to be, it's going to be a slew of picks. Maybe you can throw in a player. But Myles has done enough for the city. It was all Myles. Everybody in full defense of Myles Garrett. And I just don't think that's the way that we're feeling anymore. I feel like we've sort of switched to, okay, we can still trade Myles. Myles wants to go down this full route and continue to put out the narrative, continue to put it up. You've had to deal with it for over a month now, or pretty close to it. And the entire thing now circles back to, I think Browns fans are sick of it. Everybody's sitting around listening to the narrative continue to go on. As Lance put it, they still got the kids' gloves on. Right? We haven't even really entered into the realm of getting it ugly. It is basically Browns respond saying they think they can still keep him here. Miles saying, oh, no, you can't. And that is the conversation going back and forth and everything that we've reached. But I think that we're getting to a change of, okay, this has gotten stale. We're sick of this being the constant narrative, being the back and forth, and listening to the Browns not change their stance and Miles not change their stance. Either do something or don't. Make up your mind. Get to that point. Figure out where you're going with this thing, and then we can move on and actually assess what we need to do in the draft and what our outlook for the next year is going to be. I think that's to the point where we are. Show me what the outlook is going to be. 216-474-0092. Is that sort of where you've gotten? Have you changed your mind on what it means to be fair to Miles, and are you over this entire thing and just want it to be over? We'll get to your phones, your phone calls, full lines right now, so we'll be sure to get to that. We'll push the quarterback big board a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to that eventually, but 216-474-0092. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. It's Anthony Lima. Lima, what's going on?
What is going on? What an honor it is to talk to the prodigy of Cleveland Sports Talk Radio. Just the embodiment of Noah Eagle is right on our radio station. So it is sincerely terrific. I want to congratulate you for the big gig and gotten a chance to listen plenty lately. And I love the quarterback big board. So it's one of my favorite running gimmicks in the history of sports radio, 92.3 The Fan. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate the congratulations, and you liked it. I saw on one of the first ones after the gig, you commented on the Mason Rudolph picture, which I feel like a lot of people never picked up on. So
that was fun. I gotta be honest, that's the only thing I saw.
Good. I'm glad.
My eyes were fixated on the Mason Rudolph picture. But, you know, it's so interesting. I don't know how opinionated your listeners, your tweeters have been. As of yet, I imagine pretty much so. Anytime we bring up Shador Sanders, and now obviously Cam Ward has gotten more run too when it comes to the quarterbacks. So I'll get to Myles Garrett in a second. But the more and more that I listen to people, their opinions are totally set in stone, which is hilarious considering not only are we not at the combine, the decision makers around the league just got to the combine. And if you've ever paid attention to what these guys say, very rarely do they have their minds made up before you even get to the combine. I mean, they didn't get a chance to even talk to, you know, players and get a sense of how they are on a whiteboard, you know, to be able to communicate, you know, get a sense of who they are, have their investigators, you know, find out, you know, how these kids or whatever you want to call them now, how they were on campus. And now, of course, many of these QBs, they transfer, so they've got a story to tell in various places across the country. And yet, don't you kind of laugh when our callers and our tweeters and people that all want to weigh in are like, no, my mind's made up. Absolutely cannot take this guy or this guy. I'm like, that's not what NFL GMs do. Like, they would get fired if they didn't take in all the information they possibly could. And famously, now you were probably 3 years old at the time, but famously, Baker Mayfield was not a consensus pick in that building, and John Dorsey admitted that he still hadn't made up his mind before the combine, and nor would I want my GMs to make up their mind. So if they haven't made up their mind, why are all of our callers making up their mind?
Yeah, it's honestly weird because, and I heard you talk about this a little bit this morning, the fact that throughout the final month leading up to the NFL draft and month and some change, the amount of guys that you see sort of rise and drop and just combine stock, you know, whether it's not it's the raw physical testing, obviously not so much for the guys at the top of the draft, but lower, just how many guys rise and fall throughout that and consensusly they do poorly in the interviews. All of a sudden, you know, they're a top five pick down to a top 10, top 15 pick. I don't know how anybody makes up their mind prior to is seeing that. I mean, the tape speaks for itself and it plays a large part in that, but to rule a guy out is wild. Like, I could see, hey, I think I like Cam Ward better than Shador, but I can't see, I wouldn't draft Shador. No chance. Absolutely not. The 4 years of tape he's put out has been so bad that NFL draft experts are laying out the fact that, yeah, it could be a top five, top 10 pick. He could go number one, could go number two, and you're telling me, yeah, I wouldn't even draft him in the first round.
Well, imagine if you would have made up your mind on Abdul Carter, and then you find out he may need a screw in his foot. Do you really want to draft Zdrunas Ilgauskas at number two overall with the with what could be the first or the second of a litany of injuries? It's too early to tell. Obviously, you want to go through and comb through the medicals and everything, but this is why you would never, if you were really doing this job for a living, you would never make up your mind the way that so many people around the country and certainly in Northeast Ohio have made up their mind. But I do want to talk about Myles Garrett because I think it's a fascinating topic. Now, you could argue, hey, what's really new here? You know, there were some rumors started by, you know, maybe it's the Cleveland Browns influencer community. I'm not sure. But there were a lot of rumors that Myles was, you know, talking extension. And then obviously it's been the lead on every show in Cleveland. Now, we know what Myles thinks of that. So I honestly think, guys, that he, Myles, has just given the gift of a lifetime to this organization and the fans. And what I mean by that is, you know, I've made the point time and time again that the Browns are old, they are expensive, and they're bad. That is a perfect storm 100 times out of 100 to start accruing assets. Normally, it's also when you fire GMs and coaches. They didn't do that, which is complicating the issue. So what I was nervous about was that the Browns are going to be stuck in this vortex of 1 foot in a rebuild, 1 foot in a pivot, and how many feet do people have? Do they have three? Because if you had another foot, it would be in still trying to compete. And the reality is no team in this situation, especially staring at Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, what's developing with the Chargers. I mean, you would never in a million years try to compete with your situation where the Browns is. Oh, did I mention they're also capped out? And what I mean by that is they have so many issues, you know, dealing with their contracts that they're not going to be a significant player in free agency this year, no matter what the cap bros will tell you. So this is the problem. And I think he gave you a gift. He gave you a gift. The nonsense needs to stop. Myles doesn't want to be here. And furthermore, it doesn't make sense for him to be here if you can truly have a Myles Garrett sweepstakes and be able to get not only capital, draft capital this year, but also next year. And next year is the year you truly want the draft capital.
Yeah, and you have the opportunity, like you said, it's a sweepstakes. I mean, everybody in the NFL is going to be willing to bid on Myles Garrett. It's the perfect scenario. I've been saying it for months. Before any of this even happened, it was basically you're in the right situation to rebuild right now. Following 3-14, everything that's gone wrong, you're right there waiting for it, and they've just denied it at every turn and continue to deny it at every turn, despite Myles selling to you that now there's nothing that can be done. This is, I want out, I want out. There's nothing else you can say. It just trade me at this point, and they're still going to come out. I'm sure they'll say something by the end of the combine of, no, we still don't plan to trade Myles.
Well, and obviously I get it. Like, right. You know, there's no reason necessarily to publicly say you're definitely moving him now. But I do wonder when we're going to see a leaked report that they offered him the most lucrative non-quarterback contract in the history of the game and that they were ready to fully guarantee it with maybe some stipulations. I would not be surprised if that gets leaked. And it's got to be weird if you're the Haslams or any billionaire for that matter. When life has been the way it has been for entrepreneurs or family businesses, and they make it to the stage where they are billionaires, they are typically able to buy themselves out of a lot of problems in real life, whether it's in a legal situation, whether it's being able to take over other companies, whether it's having to deal. We've had some pretty famous people in this country deal with bankruptcy and be able to get out of it because of their banking relationships. So in this case, like, how many times have the Haslams truly in their lives been told your money is no good here? It's not going to be about money this time around. That had to be a shell shock situation for that family, especially considering the resources that they have devoted to this football team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, it has to be a smack in the face of just, there's no amount of money you can come out. I'm honestly waiting for the report, and the fact that you haven't gotten one has made it a little bit interesting, I think, so far to this point of, no, we're going to get Myles back, we'll hand him the contract. Usually, I feel like NFL insiders are pretty quick to that, and why wouldn't Myles be willing to leak that, right, if they're trying to throw him stuff and he's truly saying no? If that's come out and they've actually attempted it up to this point, I feel like wouldn't it not be in Myles' best interest to then throw that right back and be like, here's what they offered me, and I said no.
Well, the NFL newsbreakers, the insiders, they're busy getting skirmishes. They're admonishing each other in coffee houses. Can you imagine if that were happening like Hall of Fame weekend. They go to maybe one of your favorite burger places, maybe it's Swenson's, and you've got Mary Kay Cabot getting into it with Tom Pelissero. Oh, can you imagine the storylines?
Oh my, I would die to be in there at that time. I don't know what I would do. I would lose my mind. I'd probably do what you're doing right now and call into the radio station, whoever's on, which at that point, if we're at a burger shop, it'd probably end up being me. So the call wouldn't go so well. It'd be a call to myself, but it would be, I would have to, I'd be like, you would not believe what just happened. I'm reporting live on the scene. It would go from radio to TV very quickly.
See, that's how we're, maybe you can be the one to break the story. So you can be the one to break the story that we have Tom Withers on tomorrow morning in for Ken Carmen, 6 to 10. Now, I have often dubbed Tom Withers of the Associated Press as the LeBron James biographer. Now, I don't know that he ever wrote a biography, but nobody has been with LeBron James more throughout their career in the media. That includes Windhorst, that includes Dave McMenamin. Nobody has been closer than Tom Withers, and I am very excited to talk to Tom and see, where does this Cavs team stack up with all the LeBron teams, and has he allowed himself to truly think about what a Cavs-LeBron James Los Angeles Lakers Finals would be like?
Yeah, you got a lot of good stuff coming up to you tomorrow morning. Tom is going to be definitely, I feel like you have a great combination of just a good person across from you to have a conversation with. And also, if you want to dive deep into something that's gone back within the last 20 years, very easily does Tom Withers have your back and beyond that as well. So I won't be missing it. I'm sure everybody else will not want to miss that either. So at 6 a.m., you can listen to Anthony and Tom live together as Tom fills in for Ken Carmen.
All right. Thank you so much, Jake. Once again, very excited to hear you. And first time, long time. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, the great Anthony Lima calling into the show. Hit me with a good first time, or long time first time, first time caller, long time listener, if you missed that one. Great, great stuff from Lima there. All right, I still want to dive a little bit into this Miles conversation. I want to get your guys' call as well on this at 216-474-0092 and hear more about whether or not sort of your stance has changed as it relates to Miles Garrett and whether or not you've gone from a spot of, do you really think that it is now, you just trade him and you're sick of this entire thing. Let's squeeze one in really quick. Let's go to Vasco's in Woodmere. What's going on, Vasco?
Yo, so I'm not really sure where I'm at on this thing because Miles is a generational talent. So I kind of want to keep him, but I kind of want to, like, you know, let him go. But one of the things I would like to hear you guys discuss, or the lens I would like you to look at it from, is how does the non-guaranteed years on Miles' contract plays a part in this? Like, whether, you know, whether it's the new team that acquires him, if he, you know, like, say if we trade him to a team that's not necessarily a standout contender like the Bills or the Chiefs, and it's somebody like they're saying the Patriots, then how does the non-guaranteed years on that deal affect him reporting to that team? Or how does the non-guaranteed years on the deal make it so that we could possibly, you know, hold him here? Like, how does that play a part in things? That's what I want to hear.
Yep. Vasco, I appreciate the call. I mean, from what I think you're getting at right now, if you're to trade Miles Garrett in this minute, you have, I think it's $36 million on the dead cap. And if you wait until June 1st, it's 14.8. Obviously, as time goes on, that money sort of dwindles down. But that's what the Browns are on the hook for. And then the rest of it would go to wherever he goes. Not sure I'm answering your question there entirely, but doing our best. Take more of your calls at 216-474-0092. Again, as your chance stayed, as stance changed on Myles Garrett with this new information coming out from Mary Kay Cabot. We'll get to the Browns quarterback big board here coming up at some point as well. And 820 as it stands right now. We'll see if that sticks. Hopefully it does. Combine chaos. We'll get to everything around the combine. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.